Hello, I'm Joe Wren from WFIU, and every week we're with a different mayor. This week it's with Bloomington's John Hamilton. Hello, Mr. Mayor. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Joe, good to be with you again and all your viewers and listeners. Thank you for taking time to chat a little bit about Bloomington.
Lots to talk about, especially, you know, after a month, a lot has happened. And so we want to get to a lot of that annexation, budget hearings, but we always start with COVID. Numbers seem to be going down, but the weather's cooling off. People will be spending more time inside. Do you have any insight with this wave of COVID and where we're at right now?
Well, Joe, you know, you're right to point out we're very happy that the numbers are generally going in the right direction. We want to celebrate that improvement. Fewer people in the hospital, fewer people getting sick, fewer people dying locally at the state level, even nationally, generally. So that's all really good. You know, it is sobering to remember that July, 4 months ago or so, 5 months ago, we were very hopeful that things were moving very well. And then the Delta variant hit, and that variant really threw us for a loop and killed a lot of people and spread so dramatically. So I'm always careful. We're not out of the woods by any means. More and more people are getting vaccinated, which is ultimately the big protection. But it's a good thing that our numbers are going way down as the weather gets colder and we're likely to spend more time indoors and longer periods of time with other people and holidays and such. So we know, I just keep remembering the CDC director who reminded us, you just have to be humble with this virus and keep taking it a step at a time.
How are the hospitals? I don't know if you're still getting updates on from IU Health there, but there's, you know, two things in the news. One, Governor Holcomb having deploying National Guard to help in some hospitals, and also getting word that the flu season is approaching, and Indiana just recorded its first flu death yesterday. So that's something that don't want to complicate matters even more.
Yeah, you know, last winter we were very, very concerned about the flu and its double impact with the COVID virus. But it turned out that generally all that we were doing to protect against COVID was extremely helpful to protect against the flu as well. There's a little concern this year that we're doing less in terms of masking and isolating, obviously, than we were last winter. So there is a concern about that. Hospital caseloads are down from COVID, but there are flu patients now arriving. And I do think it's important. It hits me, it sobers me when the hospital reminds us that those who are in the hospital are tending to be sicker and stay longer with the Delta variant than those before. So it's a very serious disease. You know, our workforce is mostly vaccinated, but only about 2/3. So there's a lot of people in our workforce aren't vaccinated. There are a lot of people in the county that aren't vaccinated that can spread. We worry about a new variant that might come. And of course, around the world, the vast majority of many, many people are unvaccinated. And that's always concerning. But our masking, our vaccinations locally, our distancing protocols have really helped us locally. And we just need to keep doing that and hoping and taking those steps to try to make sure the progress continues.
And I did see the city said trick or treat is back on, I believe hours 5:30 to 8:30. But keep in mind those same CDC instructions too, right?
Please, you know, a lot of kids are not vaccinated. Some are not authorized. Many are not authorized to be vaccinated. And while the school systems have done a great job and they've really helped keep people safe, there are occasional eruptions and classrooms that have to be sent home for quarantine. So out trick or treating, it's good. It's outdoors. Please try to avoid parties that would be indoors and have a bunch of people share an air for a long time, because that's how we continue to spread this Delta variant, which is still dangerous. And it's more dangerous to younger people than the previous version. So we really want to be careful.
Quickly, I know it's also mentioned Kirkwood Avenue will reopen to traffic, I believe, right after Halloween. What's been the reaction to that?
Yeah, Joe, I think people have really enjoyed the access, the establishments, the restaurants, the merchants there have generally been very supportive. They've invested in, you know, equipment and tables and coverings and such to help make that possible. I know I've been there a bunch of times and seen a lot of people enjoying it. I think the merchants and most customers recognize that when you get into November, December, January, that very cold weather, it's just less likely for the establishment to make that work for them. So we've tried to really work closely. I personally think it's quite possible in the spring we'll want to reopen this, have the outdoor seating again. That's not settled. We work with city council and the merchants on that, but I think it's been very popular over the last several months. But as the cold weather approaches, our restaurateurs are saying we're not really going to be seating people out there. So let's open it back up for regular traffic and shopping and downtown commerce that way too.
Any word on whether
we're keeping some of the pickup drop off zones? Those are still popular. At least we're looking at that. So it's look, this is going to keep evolving. We're going to stay flexible. And how it may or may not even relate to the pandemic in the future. It may just be things that people like to do on Kirkwood.
Any indication about that new canopy of lights down Kirkwood? I know they were put up temporarily. They added more on the west side. I assume people like it.
I think those are charming and people enjoy them and they may even stay without the seating. I'm not sure. Those are kind of a street feature now. And a lot of this is kind of play it by ear and move forward in ways that people seem to find attractive. I personally, the view from Sample Gates at night when those are lit up on Kirkwood looking west is really lovely, I think, and appealing. And even if you're not going to eat outdoors, walking there can be nice too. So we'll see how that plays out too.
Well, since we last talked, of course, City Council passed the annexation ordinances. Still, some council members had serious concerns about being able to expand police presence. And most people that did talk during the public speaking moment said that they were against this. Moving forward, I guess my question would be, how do you move forward now with these concerns from council members and those who were so adamant against annexation?
Sure. And look, I'm pleased that City Council voted 6-3, I think, pretty much on most of the ordinances to move forward with the annexation, something we've obviously been working on for more than 4 years. It's been a long haul. I believe strongly it's important for the future of the city to continue to expand our boundaries as people move here and grow and the development urbanizes around us. It's been long planned. We've got sewer coverage for most of these areas. We need the city to grow with the reality on the ground. The public safety concerns that were, I think, the motivating factor for any of the nay votes on council, we've been talking to them a lot. I'm very confident that we can provide the full public service, public safety services that are needed. Of course, it's not till 2024 and thereafter. We have time. We have many plans in place that will help move that forward. We do go into the legal period now under state law that allows people to protest or remonstrate against annexation. There's a lot of legal niceties to that. People who have waivers because they already agreed to be part of the city and the impact of those. And it's a 90-day period that we're in the midst of and kind of have to sit and wait and see what happens at the end of that. And then we'll move forward early next year, depending upon those, what kind of results we get from that.
Right. And that's, you just led me right into the next part of this is the remonstrance period now goes through early January. And waivers have a big impact on this. Now, I believe from some of our reporting and some of that we've talked about, the waivers that are in effect have about maybe half of the number of parcels have waivers. But we can keep talking about this 2019 law that could have an effect on those waivers. How big an effect could that have?
Well, just so to frame it, you know, cities under Indiana law actually are usually required to get a waiver. When we extend sewer service outside the city limits, we generally, through the sewer system, we generally get an agreement from a person that says, if we put sewers into your residence or into a new development, you agree that when it comes time, you will join the city. That's what a waiver is. It's a waiver of your right to protest joining the city. So there are thousands of those waivers that have been developed over the years as sewers have been extended to a bunch of new areas and dense developments and housing and all that stuff, commercial areas. And shortly after the legislature illegally stopped our annexation in 2017 with the law that was later found unconstitutional, they came back a year or two later and said, well, that wasn't enough. Let's do this other thing. Let's say if your waivers are older than 15 years, they don't count anymore. Our view is that's illegal also, but it's also kind of unfair. We did our part of that bargain, and we think the property owner should be now part of the city. They've been getting sewer service for years, most of them. And so that may end up in court. We don't know how that will all shake out. But in the end, look, Joe, you know, I've tried to be kind of common sense about this. Cities grow. Bloomington grew our first 185 years. Boundaries grew from a six block area of downtown to incorporate all the areas that are part of Bloomington now. And that's a natural process that should continue. And it just got stopped for a 17-year period, unfortunately, partly from my predecessor not pursuing it and partly from the Indiana legislature illegally stopping us. So we're trying to play catch up. Once we get there, we can do a more incremental approach. And I'm hopeful that it will proceed positively that way.
I know this is a lot of numbers games in here too, and it's kind of hard to comprehend, but if half of those parcels have a waiver, do you know how many of those were done prior to 2006?
A fair number. I don't have an exact number, but quite a few. I mean, since we haven't annexed for so long, there are some waivers that have been in existence for quite some time. So again, our view is whenever you sign the waiver, that was a contract in effect between you and the city. We provided sewer service and you agreed to join the city when we asked you to, and we did our part, and now it's time for you to do your part. And look, I get it. People, there are lots of different reasons people may not want to be annexed. Some of it's financial, some of it's kind of cultural or social, but all the city of Bloomington residents are paying for all of the parks and paying for all those services. And frankly, the ratepayers have helped build the sewer system out that far. And a city, to be healthy, needs to continue to incorporate people into its jurisdiction. And frankly, also, I think it'll be good to have new voters and new participants in the civic life of many people who psychologically are part of Bloomington. They spend a lot of time in Bloomington. They may work in Bloomington, go to school in Bloomington, shop in Bloomington, live right next to Bloomington. So we want to right size the borders, as I say.
Well, we'll find out maybe early February. Auditor, Monroe County Auditor Catherine Smith mm-hmm. is running the remonstrance period and talked to her a couple weeks ago and said she hopes to have something, not the end of January, the beginning of February, to see then how things move forward. Is that pretty much what you've been hearing?
Yes, I think after the remonstrance period closes, there's some processing time. It's a fair amount of detail work that's got to be done, all set by state law, and it'll probably be in February until we find out where we are.
All right, let's move to budget proceedings. So from what I gather, just kind of bottom line, city council wants an increase in police salaries, police benefits. They want a climate plan coordinator. From what I understand, the city administration, you say the budget is good where it is. Are you addressing council member concerns for that October 27th meeting?
Yeah, again, Joe, look, kind of putting this in context, every year the mayor of a city under state law proposes a budget and the council disposes of the budget. They decide what to do with it. It's quite a formal process. We actually do a lot more than most cities. We started in April, nearly 6 months ago, over 6 months ago, actually, to work with council to kind of outline what they want to see in a budget, what we're seeing in the budget, looking at the financial realities that we have to make sure we deal with. I'm under law obligated to present a balanced budget that the revenues and the assets on hand are enough to do all that we're planning to do in the budget expenses next year. And that's been a back and forth process from April, May, June, July, August, September, all the way to now. It's not a surprise that there are some council members who have different views of what ought to be in the budget. I've told them I don't love everything in the budget. You know, it's a document that includes, it's complicated, includes a lot of things. As you indicated, there's some who've urged that there be more compensation for police sworn officers in particular. We've actually increased that a lot in the budget. There's some who want that in the base of the salary as opposed to a retention bonus. And a lot of that's kind of inside baseball, I think. Ultimately, we're talking about, are we protecting public safety? Crime rates are continuing to go down overall. That's an encouraging thing to see. There's also kind of, in my perspective, an inside baseball question of exactly how do we fund sustainability-focused positions in city government. We have accelerated our investment in that dramatically over the last several years. We take the climate emergency extremely seriously. There's some different views about whether this position ought to be there or in that department or where, at what level. And that's fine. Ultimately, you know, I'm presenting a budget that I think moves our city forward. The door's open. I'm continuing to talk with council members. And ultimately, they have a vote that they have to pick either the new budget or if they don't pass a budget, we actually get the same exact budget of 21 carries forward into 22, which would be a very negative thing. So I'm pretty confident we're going to get there with a new budget, and I think it'll be a very good budget.
You say the door is open, but it seems like there is a big divide or conflict between the budget that you prepared and the council. What's the relationship like between you and the city council when you say the door is open?
Well, I don't think it actually is a big divide, Joe. If you look at the $170 million of the budget and all the issues that are presented, what typically happens is it comes down to, out of 300 things that are in there, there may be one or two or three that people are less happy about. And of course, there are nine council members and there are different views on the council about different approaches. Public safety is a very real divisive issue in some ways on the council. There are quite different views of how to approach this. And as mayor, I need to try to balance all of that and of course listen to the public. So the relations are good. I sometimes, you know, stress levels can go up, people can pound the table a little bit, but in the end, you know, the areas of agreement are vast and are areas of direction of where we want to go are commonly shared in deep ways. So these are, I view them as kind of last minute, maybe some posturing, maybe a little political maneuvering, but I'm confident we'll move forward for the city as a whole. And it's a really good budget to help us get out of. Let's remember, these are really extraordinary times with the pandemic that we've been through, the economic collapse that came with that pandemic, and our communities doing a lot of things very well. And we want to make sure the budget helps keep that going, keep recover forward as we talk about.
Sure. I think what I'm trying to get to is for those who don't see what goes on, you know, behind the scenes, for those of us who just, you know, we're just watching what happens during city council. It just seems like, I know you sent a memo before the last budget meeting saying, well, here's what you get, here's what happens if you don't. And yeah, it just kind of came off as a take it or leave it type of thing and made me wonder, well, do you guys talk behind the scenes about this stuff before having meetings?
Absolutely. I mean, I meet regularly with leadership of the council and look, the council again is nine individually elected folks and they're all of one party. They all have different views. And if you took $107 million of the civil city budget, that's excluding water and housing and transit, if you took that $107 million, we're probably discussing, if you will, less than $1 million of question about that, you know, so there's a vast area of agreement. There's some areas of still discussion. And I've had conversations in the last several days with different council members, you know, but it's important that they can only take action as a council by voting, because three of them may want this and two want that and four want that and a different four want this and a different three want that. And And in the end, a budget is a coherent document that I'm proud that we have, and we'll keep talking about how to move it forward well, and conversations will continue, I'm sure, over the days ahead. But ultimately, the City Council needs to vote on October 27th on whether to adopt the new budget or not. And the numbers in the budget are actually set because they have to be publicly noticed. They can't be changed. So these other things we're talking about are kind of some nuance behind the scenes.
And one more, just the budget. Why suggest $5,000 in retention bonuses for police officers rather than reopening the collective bargaining agreement?
Yeah. The basic point is, Joe, I don't feel it's responsible for me to put in place salaries and positions if we don't have a long-term way to pay for those. And that's what I've expressed to the council is that's why a retention bonus, which is contemplated in the American Rescue Plan Act, that one-time money is very appropriate for that. But putting something in a base, I have to tell you, as mayor, I want to know that I have that money, not just in 2022, but in 23 and 24, that if I'm hiring people and paying them that, I want to make sure we have a fiscal position to continue to do that. So that's why the one-time bonus is the direction to go from my view. Now, from a police officer, sworn officer, that they're getting the same money one way or the other, and we'll be actually beginning bargaining with the police union next week to start the bargaining for the 2023 budget. And I'm sure all this is going to be on the table, and the $5,000 retention bonus is going to be kind of a starting point in a way for the next year's negotiations.
I have to ask you quickly about the convention center. I know that got left off right before the pandemic, and there was talk about a CIB board. Is that right?
Yes, we were debating and discussing what a convention, capital improvement board.
Improvement board, yeah. And the majority of residents wanting some type of civic center. And I'm reminded by this because Columbus is starting theirs. Yeah. The early process, Terre Haute's already in construction. What would it take for Bloomington Monroe County to get this process going again?
Well, I wish we were going. Obviously, the pandemic was an issue, but these are very long-term projects. And I think Bloomington is inherently and naturally a destination place, and having more destination during the week, which is what a convention center could really help accelerate, is very important. I just think there's not a meeting of the minds on moving forward with that. The city is very committed. We've been very clear about the importance and value of that. I think some of our partners are not as sure about it, and it takes two to tango, and we're kind of waiting to see what comes of that. And I hope it will move forward soon. I think it'll be really good for the city and important for the city. We have the land, we have the revenue source to do this. It's just going to take some will from all parties involved.
I see the Bloomington Fire Department received a rare honor. What was that?
Yeah, this is a really big deal, Joe. Fire departments all around the country, and there are 40,000 of them or something, are rated by the insurance industry, essentially, on how well they protect us, how well they protect against fires. Less than 1% of those fire departments all across the country get this top number one rating, 1 out of 10. We just got it. We are the first city in Indiana to have a fire department that's rated at this very highest level. It means they look at our fire department, they look at our water system, they look at our dispatch system. So the city as a whole is the first city in the state to be rated this way. It means we have excellent, excellent protection. Really proud of the department, all the people there who work so hard, train so hard, the water system and the hydrants and the power and the availability of water dispatch. What it can mean is assurance that we're doing well, but it also can mean lower property tax rates for a lot of us, for casualty and property insurance. So that'll shake down over the next months and years. We're really proud of that. We're the only city, by the way, in Indiana to have a CALEA, nationally accredited police department, and a top-ranked fire department. We've got top-flight public safety services here, and I want to thank the council for supporting them and for the public for the way you support them too.
I know this might be early to ask, but any thoughts about running again for mayor in a couple of years?
Oh, Joe, that's early. I'll, I'll just say this. It is early. We got a bunch of elections between now and then, but I love the job. I've always enjoyed being in Bloomington and helping the community get better. It's a great privilege to get to serve. I love what I do every day, and we got a lot of work still to do. So we won't nothing to announce about that, but I relish the chance to continue to let this incredible community keep getting better and better and letting more and more people thrive here.
Well, we're at 2 minutes left. So I always like to give the mayor the kind of the last 2 minutes, any updates or other special announcements that you'd like to pass along?
Well, no, you know, Joe, I think it's always good just to remember again in the high level, what we've been going through the last 18, 19 months with the pandemic, the importance of our community pulling together. IU went through an extraordinary year. Our health system continues to go through an extraordinary challenging time. Please be kind to people around you. Everybody, in some ways, it feels a little stressful and on edge, but we've come through a once in a century kind of challenge. We're coming through it, I should say. And we got people still looking for work. We've got people looking for housing. We've got people looking for healthcare. Please keep taking care of each other and being kind to each other. IU's back. We've got employers growing. Catalent, which continues to, you know, fill thousands and thousands of vials every day of this vaccine to go around the world, growing by thousands of employees, and Cook and Baxter and Ivy Tech and a lot of companies that are growing, and our community is opening up new trails and new parks, and we've found how valuable that is. So there's a lot of good things happening. Let's just keep working together to move forward, and there's a lot of ways to celebrate that. Watch for news items and get out to your parks and hear concerts and eat outdoors. Again, just be kind to each other, and let's try to keep taking care of each other as we get through what's been some pretty challenging times.
Yeah. And again, thank you so much. And I want those that are listening and watching to know you can always comment below. You can also send an email to news@indianapublicmedia.org. We're on Twitter @AskTheMayor. Mayor Hamilton, appreciate your time and hope to see you next month.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Everybody be safe and have a good fall as the cool weather approaches.
That's right. Thank you.